Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. If it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and you can be a part of it. If you have a question or if there's something you'd like to talk about, call now. The lines are open at 844-322-2742. That's the number for the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we do have open lines right now at 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. We're talking about the implications of the resurrection for you and me here and now. There's a lot of theology that just leaves it as proof that Jesus's claims to be God were true, that he was indeed the Son of God, and that was declared in power by the resurrection. And so we look at it from an apologetic point of view, but it does have implications for us here and now. And you talked about yesterday, Richard, the fact that we now know the Lord, that his resurrection just ushers us into this relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. And we can experience eternal life. And that's knowing God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. Paul talked about that in Philippians 3, about I press on to know him. That was his highest calling. And a friend of mine said all roads lead to Philippians 3. It's just kind of the pinnacle, isn't it? But we also see this in the New Covenant, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 11, and they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, for I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. So the cross removed the barrier, took away our sins. That's where God showed us mercy, so that we could know the Lord, so that we could have that personal, vibrant, dynamic relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. Now, that wasn't the case in the Old Covenant. There were clear markers that say you can't draw any closer than this. On at Mount Sinai, there was a boundary. You cross that boundary, you die. So people kept the Lord at an arm's distance and even further away than that. They did not want to draw near to God. The Old Covenant did not allow that to happen. But in the New Covenant, God's grace draws us close and we can know him. And that is what distinguishes, I think, Christianity from every other religion that's out there or philosophy that's out there. The fact that we can genuinely know the Lord. And when we do know the Lord, what do we discover? Well, that he is love. God is love. That's what we discover. And that's the knowledge that is missing out there in the world. And we certainly have that privilege of being able to share that knowledge with the world, to say, hey, you may think God's a mean, angry judge, but let me tell you, because I know him and he is love. And he demonstrated that love toward me, and that Christ died to take away my sins. He demonstrated that love toward me, and that he called me a child of God. He demonstrated that love toward me, and that he came, he sent his Spirit to take up residence inside of me. So we know what God is like. Why? Because we know God. We know that he is love. And we have that privilege of sharing that knowledge out there in the world, and I think it's the greatest privilege a human can have.
Oh, it is. And this presence of God is something that has, even in the Old Testament, was there. I mean, God made sure he was with his people. He couldn't be in them because the sin problem hadn't been dealt with. But his presence was there, and there were many, many examples and reminders and shadows of what it was going to be in the future. So just because you couldn't go into the most holy place doesn't mean that God hated you. It meant he was protecting you. And his love says, you stay out there and then watch these shadows be performed and think in your head, one of these days, that shadow is going to become reality when Messiah comes. Jesus shows up and says, I am the Father or one, I'm Messiah. And we get that present reality now, presence in our life right now, Because it was promised. All along, it was promised, and it was fulfilled in Jesus.
In Jesus Christ. And the day he died, the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom.
No more separation.
Showing that access into God's presence was now available.
Yeah.
And that's the case for all of us. So we can go in and we can know God. We can go into the throne of grace, and it's the blood of Jesus that is our confidence to do so. And I just think this is a wonderful, wonderful promise. And we can genuinely say, I know the God of this universe. Oh. I know him personally. Why? Because he's reached out to me and revealed himself to me in the person of Christ Jesus.
Yeah. Contrast that with paganism. Paganism always has some one or more gods out there. And you're never allowed to know that God. You always have to go through the intermediaries, and you always have to do something to keep from being squashed like a bug.
Yes.
And these intermediaries turn out to be just like me. So what special thing do they get? And then you realize that the God himself or herself is just like me, a human. No other belief system in the world's history has the God who says, I love you so much, I will fix the gulf that's been set, and then I will cross that gulf and be in relationship with you directly, intimately, internally. Who else can say that?
Really?
Only a child of God.
Absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher here with Richard Pfeiffer today, and we welcome you to the program as well. 844-322-2742 is the number. If you have questions about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, its implications in your day-to-day life, we would love to hear from you. If you have other issues or other biblical questions that you would like to pose on the program, call right now. The time to do it is now. Don't wait too long. This 25 minutes goes really fast. So call right now, 844-322-2742. I do want to remind our listeners that Basic Gospel is listener-supported radio. We can do what we do because listeners all around the country give to support this program. And we certainly need your help. Right now, if you could go online to basicgospel.net, that's basicgospel.net, click the donate button, and we would love for you to come and join with us and be a part of the Basic Gospel financial team. I'm telling you, there is so much confusion out there in the world. I mean, folks are seeking answers. We got an email from a gentleman not too long ago and said he was seeking answers. He was scanning across the radio dial, came across Basic Gospel, started listening, and started getting the answers that he was seeking. Mm-hmm. Of course, he had tried lots of things. He had tried YouTube and tried various other internet platforms out there, and he just got a bunch of crazy answers. And finally, he heard a clear message about Jesus, about his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his heart responded to it.
Yeah.
And that's what people need. They need clarity. They need a clear, simple, powerful presentation concerning Jesus. It's the word concerning Jesus that brings faith into a person's life and life change. So when you give, you're investing in the gospel, you're investing in the lives of people, and you're making that connection between the two. And boy, when somebody's seeking and the gospel cross, they have that intersection, boy, wonderful things take place. So we ask you to invest to make those wonderful things take place through this Basic Gospel radio broadcast. Well, this is Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742 is the number. We would love to hear from you right now. 844-322-2742. In the meantime, we have a bunch of questions that have come to us via email, via YouTube, Facebook. So let's just dive in, Richard.
Okay, this one came from YouTube, and I think it fits in what we've just been talking about. Why must Christians give an account of their life if they have been forgiven?
Well, it's a very good question, and it seems not to make sense that, hey, I've already been forgiven. My sins were judged at the cross. Jesus stood in my shoes and took my punishment for me. And in exchange, he gave me his righteousness. Mm-hmm. So why am I going to be judged? Why am I going to stand in judgment? Well, we see in Romans 14, and I think this is the passage that this particular person is referencing. It says this in verse 12 of Romans 14, "So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." Now, this word account is a very interesting word. It's the same word that John uses in John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." It's the Greek word logos, and it just means intelligence, or it means the expression of that intelligence in word. So when we stand to give an account, we're going to speak a word on our behalf. Now, there's going to be some that say to the Lord, "Look at all these wonderful things that I did in your name." And the Lord is going to say, "Depart from me, because I never knew you."
Yes.
Well, they didn't give a very good account. Why? Because their words condemned them instead of justified them. Those of us who know Christ, what's the word that we're going to speak to the Lord? We're going to say, "Jesus is Lord. I believed in my heart that God the Father, raised him from the dead, and I received." And those words are going to justify. So we're justified, and when we stand before him, those are going to be the very words that we say.
Yeah.
So that's the account that we're going to give. And he says this, "For we all stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." We're going to say something. The lost are going to say something, and those words are going to judge and condemn. We're going to say something, and our judgment is eternal life.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
good news.
Yeah, the problem here is the use of the word account.
Yes.
We immediately think, oh, man, this is an accounting. So there's debits and credits, and it's all got a balance. That's not it at all. This account is the account of our lives. It's a story we get to tell. We either tell about ourselves, or we get to talk about Jesus.
Right, right. And, boy, those of us who are born again, who know the Lord, we're going to talk about Jesus.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be an exciting moment to say, hey, Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection is my story.
Yeah.
It was his story, and he invited me to participate, and I did by faith.
Indeed.
And that's the good news.
That's good news.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, this call came in, I believe, yesterday, and we didn't have time to get to it on yesterday's broadcast.
Yes, gentlemen. In Mark chapter 1, the record simply states that immediately after the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist, Jesus immediately was driven of the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days. In John chapter 1, basically it says that the next day after the baptism of Jesus, Jesus was walking and John saw him and said, "The Lamb of God." And then at that point, the next day, Philip was chosen by Christ. And then the third day was Mary of Canaan in Galilee, and then after that it says he went to Capernaum, and after that went to the temple to expel the money changers. So there seems to be a contradiction there. Maybe you could address that again. Thank you.
Well, there's no contradiction there at all. We see in Matthew, Mark, and Luke the chronology, the baptism of Jesus Christ, and after that happened, he goes into the wilderness for 40 days. So we see the chronology there. In the Gospel of John, when we see information about the baptism of Jesus Christ, it's really John just testifying to what has occurred. So it's not a chronology of events. As far as that baptism takes place, it's just simply the testimony of John the Baptist.
Yeah.
"This is why God sent me. I was a voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" And that's what he did. And he talks about baptizing Jesus. He talks about seeing him and saying, "Hey, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," and all of that. And he gives that testimony. So he's not laying out of a chronology of events. And John, for some reason, I guess because the Holy Spirit didn't impress him to write about the temptation, he just kind of skips over that and moves just on with
never covers it.
That's right. Moves on with the ministry of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So we have to recognize in all the gospel accounts, you know, they tell different aspects of Jesus's life. There's a few things that we see in every single gospel. There's other stories that are just in one and not in the other. Mm-hmm. And you ask, why is that? Well, these are just different people giving different accounts of the life of Christ. It would be like you and me going to a football game. I would give, you know, my observations of what happened at a football game. Mm-hmm. You would give yours, and together we're going to get a more complete picture of what took place. And I think that's how we have to look at these gospel accounts as well. It's individuals, God moving in them to write down what he's impressed on them to write down, and the key events that were important as far as they were concerned, and that dynamic between that person and the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And so when we combine it all together, we get a full picture. But as far as John's gospel, he doesn't really tell the story of the baptism. He uses John the Baptist to testify about it, to refer back to it. And then he just moves on, with Jesus's ministry going forward.
Yeah, this is one of those areas where the dynamic nature of the stories as they're told throughout the Bible gives you more confidence instead of less confidence.
Yes.
If everybody told exactly the same story, you'd say, well, they're all in cahoots. Who's going to believe this? Well, they're not in cahoots. These are individual people that the Holy Spirit used their experience and the inspiration to bring out a more complete picture overall.
Yes.
It's really cool.
Indeed. It's like, you know, a crime investigation scene. And, you know, the investigators come on the scene and they're looking for witnesses, and they identify the witnesses. And each witness is going to give a different version, but they're going to put all that together, and they're going to see the complete story, and then they're going to figure out what happened, who done it, so to speak. And these are eyewitness accounts, and they're, you know, bring them together. They give you the full picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you so much for that question. We really appreciate it. It's Basic Gospel, folks. Richard Pfeiffer is here. My name is Bob Christopher. The number 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742. Richard, you and I last week had an opportunity to record your story. Your journey from legalism into the freedom of by grace through faith in Jesus.
Yes.
It's a remarkable story. As I said, I think it's one of the most interesting stories I've ever encountered. And we've put that together as a gift, our way of saying thank you to people who give this month the Basic Gospel. And we want to put it in your hands. And I think it's going to be a great encouragement. You shared that a little bit last week on the radio broadcast. We had numerous people that wrote in and said, oh, my goodness, I identify. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for helping me see the hope that there is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's a great story. We want to put it in your hands. It's available just for asking as you give to Basic Gospel this month. All the information on how you can request your copy of Richard's story is at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Just click the donate button, follow all the instructions, and we'll get your copy to you as soon as we can. Once you listen to it or watch it, pass it on, because it's going to be a great encouragement to people all over this country and around the world.
Yeah. Well, this question came in from Melanie on Facebook. I'd like to know your thoughts on Luke 21:16-18. In this passage, Jesus speaks that some followers will suffer even death, but they will not perish. It seems clear that contrary to much thought in our culture, that death is not final, but perishing is, and that this final perishing shall not come to the redeemed child of God. How would we comment on that, explain it a little further?
Well, I think that's a good point. The perishing has an eternal meaning to it.
Mm-hmm.
So God so loved the world that he sent his son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Yes.
So the perishing aspect of it conveys that eternal judgment,
correct,
that eternal condemnation. And we can lose our physical lives,
yes,
and we're all
going to
die.
We're all going to.
We're,
yes,
all
going to
die, but because Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, though we die physically, we're never going to die. Why? Because we've been given eternal life, his resurrected life.
Okay. Darlene from Calgary, Alberta in Canada, love our Canadian listeners, has this question about Satan. It says, I'm not sure if you can answer this question, but for some reason I keep thinking it, and it will not go away. If Satan were to ask God to forgive him, would God do it? I keep telling myself, no, God would not forgive him, or will not forgive him. But this question keeps gnawing at me. I hope it is not a sin to be thinking about it. Thank you, and God bless you for all the great work you're doing. So if Satan were to repent, what would God do?
Well, I don't think it's available to him.
Correct.
There's no opportunity for any of the angelic world to repent. Those, either Satan or his band of demons, they've fallen, and that's just their eternal state. Now, here's the interesting aspect. Christ didn't die for angels.
No.
Christ died for people.
Correct.
We bear the image of God. We were created in God's likeness. So Jesus became one of us. He didn't become an angel.
Mm-hmm.
He became one of us. He took upon himself flesh and blood, and he tasted death for everyone so that those who do come to him by faith would experience eternal life in him, would receive his very life.
Yes.
So the angelic world, those good angels, so to speak, God uses them as ministering servants. They are there to serve those who are going to receive salvation. And they long to look into,
yes,
this grace. They'll never experience the grace of God. They'll never know what it means to be justified freely by grace. They will never know what it means to have a dynamic, vibrant relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. They will never know that joy that you and I know. And in the end, we're going to stand in judgment over the angelic world. So even though we're a little lower, we're the pinnacle of God's creation.
Yes.
We bear his image, and God, through Jesus, has restored that. And angels serve in that capacity. The demons, they've fallen, and that's their state forever. There's no chance for them to repent.
Yeah. Yeah. As soon as there was that war in heaven and Satan and his followers were thrown out, that was their judgment, their initial judgment. There is a final judgment for them, but that was their initial.
Yeah.
They're done.
Yeah, they're done. They're done indeed. Well, boy, this time has gone fast.
Always.
We've come to the end of another Basic Gospel broadcast. We'll be back tomorrow. Andrew Farley will be joining us on tomorrow's broadcast. We'll look forward to spending it with you as well. As always, thank you for allowing us to be a part of your day. It is a joy and a privilege to come onto these airwaves and to talk about the goodness of God as demonstrated in the person of Jesus Christ. As we mentioned, Basic Gospel is listener supported. We would love for you to be a part of the Basic Gospel financial team. You can do so by going to basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Click the donate button and follow all the instructions. Come be a part of what God is doing through Basic Gospel. Well, for the entire ministry team, I'm Bob Christopher saying so long from Lewisville, Texas.